Hello, humans. Welcome back to the Meditative Aiden podcast, where we talk about mindfulness and how it can help you work through the challenges and experiences of everyday life. My name is Aiden, and this is episode number 13, Working with Anger. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about anger, when it can be a good thing and when it can be a bad thing. And then we're going to talk about how mindfulness and the tools and practices of mindfulness can actually help us work through the experiences of anger when they arise. Before we get into today's episode, just want to remind you guys that if you like today's episode, go ahead and give it a like and give us a comment as well. And don't forget that you can check out the full blog article on this at the Meditative Aiden blog. And you can also check out the full video of this on the Meditative Aiden YouTube channel. And you can also follow Meditative Aiden on Instagram and Facebook for daily advice and guidance on how to apply mindfulness to your day-to-day life. So, with all of that taken care of, let's get to today's episode. Anger. This is a really powerful human emotion, and it's something that a lot of us can find a lot of trouble in. You know, it's something that comes really quickly. You know, when you start feeling angry, it surges kind of like a sudden waterfall, like a flash flood waterfall. And the thing about it is that when it comes, we can start acting irrationally. I mean, we're all familiar with the guilt we feel after we say something in a bout of anger that wasn't really us. It was the anger talking, right? But the thing is that anger is actually a completely natural experience. I mean, anger is one of the basic human emotions. You know, it was something that was tied to basic survival for our primitive ancestors. You know, the experience of anger allowed our ancestors to survive in their dangerous and threatening world, mainly because it was part of the fight, flight, or freeze response that allowed them to respond to threatening situations. Hence, it was, on the one hand, a liberating experience that allowed them to survive and thrive in their environment. But when anger persists, you know, when we feel anger for a really long amount of time, it can actually have really harmful effects on our bodies, you know, including our brain structures, our immune system, and how both of those work, on top of the effect that it can have on our relationships. And over time, this actually takes a toll on our psyche as well. But when talking about anger, the most important concept that we need to understand is that it's okay to feel angry sometimes, but it's not okay to act on that to harm other people. Nonetheless, with this in mind, anger is usually caused by some kind of triggering event which makes us feel like we're being treated unfairly. And the best example that I can give involves parking lots. So let's say you're going somewhere and you're at a really busy parking lot that's super packed and there are just no spots available. You're finally able to spot someone that's walking towards their car and they're about to pull out. So you wait patiently for the spot to open up. And as soon as that person pulls out, you know, you're getting ready to pull in, take your spot, when somebody else zooms right in and takes your spot. In this instance, the feeling of anger is triggered by the action of this person pulling in and unfairly taking your spot. And I know for me, when this happens, like, it's kind of a surge of just frustration and anxiety at the same time. Because on the one hand, like, you just, what is this person thinking? They just took your spot. I mean, you had your blinker on and everything, you were waiting, and they came out of nowhere and just stole it from you. And the anxiety, on the other hand, comes from, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, now I need to go find another parking spot. When this happens, our body spurts out a whole bunch of adrenaline because we're engaging that fight, flight, or freeze response in response to some kind of threat that we're perceiving. And that's where that flush of anger comes from, where it just feels so controlling. And I don't know about you, but sometimes this experience can just ruin my whole day. You know, I'm just, the single offense is just one offense too many. It's just frustrating. And, you know, I spend the rest of my day kind of in a state of, you know, subdued anger, but it's still there. And the issue is that when we allow this to happen over the course of a day where we're just constantly frustrated, it wreaks havoc on our body. And you know, that soured mood that we feel afterwards just taints our interactions with, you know, friends and family and how we, you know, see the world around us too. And this is why it's so important to utilize mindfulness to work through the experience of anger when it comes so that it's not tainting our entire day or several days in a row. and having that effect on our psyche, our relationships, and our body. So typically, when we start feeling angry and that fight, flight, or freeze response has been engaged, we start to lose some ability to make decisions and to act rationally. You know, it becomes difficult to think straight. And I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, experienced that when you've started feeling so angry that you actually just recognize you can't think straight. You know, you're just not thinking the right way. The reason that this happens is because that fight, flight, or freeze response is really, you know, hijacking and short-circuiting our brain so that we can survive. The issue is that when you're in a parking lot, there's not necessarily a lot of survival that you're trying to work for. But there are actually a few underlying processes, thought processes, that are caused by this short-circuiting of our mind. And these two first thought processes are overgeneralizing and mind reading. And overgeneralizing is kind of like when an experience happens and you say, oh, this always happens to me. I never get a good parking spot. And the danger with this is that it makes us feel like we're being treated even more unfairly. It kind of adds insult to injury within ourselves. The second one is mind reading, and this is assuming that we know what's going on in the other person's mind, and assuming that they knew what was going on in ours too. So when this person comes and takes our parking spot, we're assuming that, you know, this person obviously knew that this parking spot was mine, didn't they? What were they thinking? Don't they know that I have things to do and that was my spot? And these are just two of the underlying thought processes that occur. But there's a third that kind of happens a little bit after, you know, if you finally do find a parking spot and you're walking through the store, and it's the concept of rumination, where you're constantly thinking about the experience and how unjust and unfair it was. And the issue with this is that it puts our brains back into that fight or flight response system so that we're constantly re-experiencing it over and over again. Now, like I said, you know, these three thought processes aren't the only ones that occur, but they are the most prominent in causing challenges with anger and resolving that anger. So all of that gives us a background for anger itself and how it feels and what it's like, why it arises, and everything like that. So let's turn and take a look at how mindfulness can help us work through that experience. So none of us want to hear this when we're super angry, but the very first step is to take a few deep breaths. And the reason for this is that it gives us first a little bit of space to step back from that anger so that it's not so tense and not so hot in that moment. And the second reason is because taking these deep breaths actually deactivates the fight or flight response system so that it's not as powerful and not as, you know, controlling in that moment. And that's the very first step. Take a deep breath or several, however many it takes for you to cool down a little bit before you confront someone or really have a level head to handle the situation a little bit more calmly. Now, after taking a few deep breaths, I recommend using the RAIN method. And you might have heard me talk about this before because it's such an amazing tool and so powerful for helping us deal with difficult emotions and situations when they arise. The RAIN method was developed by a group of mindfulness instructors and teachers just for that purpose, to help us understand how to apply the concepts of mindfulness into day-to-day situations, just like this. So RAIN is a four-letter acronym, and the first letter, R, stands for recognize. So what this means is that we're recognizing anger as it arises. And this step, this very first step here, is about becoming aware of the feeling of anger when it comes up, rather than letting it take you along on a leash, you know, instead of allowing it to control you. And to this end, Tara Brach actually suggests that at this point, you might ask yourself, you know, what is happening inside of me right now? This step doesn't involve any kind of analyzing or questioning or anything like that. It's really just becoming a little more conscious of the situation as it happens. So, you know, when that driver swoops in, for example, you might say to yourself, I'm experiencing or feeling a lot of anger right now. Really, the point of this step is just to recognize it, bring a little more consciousness to the situation so that you can handle it. And that's it. So the second letter of RAIN is A, which stands for acknowledge. What this means is that we're acknowledging the anger and allowing it to be just as it is. And this might seem a little counterintuitive, a little backward, But the idea here is to allow yourself to be with this experience without it controlling you. So instead of lashing out at the driver or, you know, acting on that sense of anger, you might just allow yourself to sit with that anger for a moment. And again, that sounds a little backwards because it might seem like, you know, that's just allowing the anger to stew or giving you more time to ruminate. But what it's doing is it's preventing you from feeding that anger. And in particular, at this point, Tara Brach explains that this step involves letting go of our resistance to that anger and to our desperate clinging to it as well. So this step is just super important to prevent us from acting from a place of anger and causing unwanted damage. And there's an enormous amount of evidence that shows that, you know, smothering our feelings or trying to get rid of them actually makes our experiences worse. And by allowing it to exist in contrast, we let the flame of anger burn out in its own time without burning ourselves or really the people around us. And that's what Tara Brach is talking about. You know, just instead of, you know, trying to desperately get away from that anger or, you know, run away from it or, you know, feed it, you're just allowing it to exist. So that's what this A stands for, acknowledge it and allow it to exist. So the next letter in this acronym is I, which stands for investigate. What this means is that we're investigating the experience of anger as it arises. And this is really the big step where we're asking a lot of big questions and trying to figure out, you know, where the sensation is coming from, how it's affecting us, and what we're going to do about it. So in this particular step, we're asking, you know, where is it coming from? Is this helping or hurting me? Or, you know, is there something about the situation that I might actually be missing? And the point here is to investigate which of those angry thought processes might be dominating our minds. Just like we mentioned before, where anger kind of short circuits our brains, the point of this step is to figure out if those are experiences and processes that we're going through right now. So in our parking lot example, you know, we've taken some time to take a few deep breaths, we've gone through and recognized it, we've acknowledged the anger, and now that we're investigating it, we're asking ourselves if we're overgeneralizing about the situation, if we're mind reading the situation and how everyone's involved in it and the way that they're acting in it, and then later on asking ourselves if we're ruminating about it. So what this might look like in our parking lot example, you know, we've gone through all the other steps. We're taking a look first at that overgeneralization. Am I looking at this situation and believing that this always happens to me? Am I making this experience more difficult for myself than it really is? And then trying to figure out if we're making any assumptions about the other person's behavior. You know, what this involves here is really stepping out of our own shoes and into their shoes to recognize that we're not the only person involved in this experience. So in this part, we might be asking questions like, you know, is it possible that that person might not have seen me waiting for the parking spot? Is it possible that they weren't intentionally trying to offend me? Really, what we're trying to do is just change our perspective so that we can recognize that this experience involves more than us, and also to recognize how this situation is becoming more difficult through these thought processes. Now, the point of this step isn't to make ourselves feel guilty for the way that we're acting in this situation by any means. The purpose of this is just to understand what is causing this experience, how am I responding to it, and what is it that's making the situation worse. So the process of taking a few deep breaths and then going through the first three steps of the RAIN method is really to help us understand how to disengage from the sensation of anger and how to dampen our response to it. And in this way, we're able to act a little more neutrally, a little more level-headedly towards the situation as it occurs. And this brings us to the fourth part of the RAIN method, which is non-identification. And this non-identification naturally arises as we learn to bring awareness to the situation and as we learn to disengage with the experience of anger. And this component involves coming to a place where you realize that the anger that you feel is just a transient experience. You know, this also means that you're in a place where you're not identifying with the anger and you're not trying to stifle it or smother it, but you're just allowing it to exist without the need to act on it. This is important because it's really easy to identify with anger and believe that, you know, we're an angry person, or to believe that we're always angry all the time. And this step, after everything else we've gone through, really helps helps us learn that we're not an angry person and helps us learn how to disengage from that belief. Like I've said before, you know, I love the RAIN method. It has been such a powerful tool for me, especially when it comes to anger, because it helps me learn how to step back and respond more mindfully to the situation as I bring a greater level of consciousness to it. But there's actually one thing that I want to add in relation to anger specifically, which is our ability to communicate with the people that are involved in the situation at hand. So I want you to imagine that, you know, someone you know goes through this RAIN method because you offended them, or, you know, they're angry because of something you did. And they go through the RAIN method and they find some peace, but they don't ever talk to you about it. And that situation is kind of, you know, it's a little awkward, which is why it's so important to communicate with the people that are involved in the situation. And, you know, I could say this about any number of situations that we're in, but I mention this specifically for anger because it's really easy to use and word our conversations in a way that are kind of blameful. Is that a word, blameful? I don't know. Either way, the point is that we can start using language such as "you made me feel" or "you did this." And these statements incite blame and finger pointing, which really doesn't show a resolution of the problem and also makes it more difficult to work through that situation with other people, because what you're doing is engaging their defense mechanisms because you're targeting them for the situation. So, particularly with anger, I encourage you to use neutral statements that express facts as opposed to emotions, such as, "this made me feel this way," or "I feel this way when this happens." What this does is it allows you to have kind of a neutral base for this conversation to occur where you can, you know, neutrally work through the challenges that gave rise to the situation. But overall, this is how mindfulness helps us work through the experiences that we have with anger, and it allows us to work through them with a greater sense of awareness as we bring a greater level of consciousness to it so that we're not acting irrationally and we're not allowing that short-circuited mind to take control of the situation and make things worse. I hope that you're able to walk away from today's episode with a better understanding of how to go through situations that involve anger and how to work through that experience when it occurs. You know, if nothing else, I hope that you're able to take away the practice of the RAIN method and that you're able to apply that to these situations and other situations as they arise. Well, friends, that wraps up today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. Again, if you did, feel free to give us a review. And don't forget that you can check out the full blog article on this at the Meditative Aiden website on our blog page. You can also check out the full YouTube video at the Meditative Aiden YouTube channel. You can also follow and like Meditative Aiden on Instagram and Facebook for daily mindfulness-guided inspiration to help you work through the challenges and experiences of everyday life. And with that, guys, you know, I really appreciate you tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and I'll see you next time.